Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Metcast, the podcast of Manchester Metropolitan University. With the world coming together for COP26 in Glasgow to find solutions to combat climate change, we'll be taking a look at how the university is helping people learn more. In this episode, we discuss carbon literacy at Manchester Met, what it is and how it's being used to help councils, schools and businesses learn how they can reduce their carbon footprint. I spoke with Dr. Rachel Dunk, who is also attending COP26 as part of the university's delegation there. So far, more than 1,400 students and 200 staff members at the university have been trained, while more than 2,400 at 20 external organisations have too. Part of the scheme to train others to become carbon literacy trainers has delivered training to more than 7,500 people, while in 2020, the university worked as a lead higher education institution in the Carbon Literacy Projects Initiative to develop public sector carbon literacy toolkits, which was funded by the government. Since then, 42 universities in the UK, 8 universities overseas, and 3 further and higher education organisations have delivered carbon literacy using the toolkit. Let's find out more.
Hello, so we're here with Dr. Rachel Dunk, who leads the carbon literacy activity at Manchester Metropolitan University and has been very busy in the preparation for COP26 and more recently for the Greater Manchester Green Summit. So we're here today to chat about everything carbon literacy, what it is, how it can help, and how it'll help shape the minds of the future in businesses and schools going forward. So, Rachel, what is carbon literacy?
Well, Chris, in simple terms, you can think about it as the knowledge and understanding of what it is we do in our daily lives, be that our personal lives or our work lives, that have an impact on climate, and what we can do about it to bring those emissions down. So it's the knowledge and understanding of how can I reduce my impact and then actually getting on and doing it.
Very basically, that can be anything from how to recycle to different transport options, how to modify your home to make it greener.
It would go across every sphere of your personal life and your working life. So yes, you mentioned recycling. That's a really important thing to do, makes very strong positive contributions to the circular economy. The carbon benefits are really big in some areas, less so in others. So for example, if you decided to get a reusable mug rather than use disposable cups from when you get your morning coffee, that's a great thing to do for the environment. It's not going to reduce your carbon footprint a huge amount. What would reduce your carbon footprint much more would be switching from dairy milk, for example, to oat milk. So it's also about building the understanding of the relative impact of the things that we do. Across your diet, across your travel, what you do in your home and how you do it. And you mentioned insulation, I think. You know, home heating is a huge part of our energy footprint. So heating our homes and our hot water use would be a major part of all of our personal carbon footprints. But then also for people who are working or people who are in education, their impact in that role. So within your job role, what can you shape and change to reduce the carbon footprint of your entire workplace? And who can you influence? You know, as educators, we have a really important role educating the young people who are coming through our systems, for example. So probably the biggest impact I can have is to influence others to take action and reduce their carbon footprint, obviously, as well as walking the walk and bringing my own footprint down.
And how does that look like in practice in terms of delivering it? Because we as a university obviously deliver carbon literacy and we've been doing it with students for many years, but we're expanding what we're offering around that. Is it that correct to say?
Yeah, so without blowing our own trumpet too much, I would say we are sector leading. So we've been working in close partnership with the Carbon Literacy Project since it was set up, which was back in 2012. And since then, we've had a really strong internal program of carbon literacy delivery. And initially, myself and my colleagues were delivering carbon literacy to our students. And then we thought, hold on, we're missing a trick here. You know, we're a large institution. We've got, you know, 30, 35,000 students with a couple of members of staff. We're never going to reach all of them. Whereas we could actually invest our time in training our students to be trainers, and then they could go out and train their peers, and that may well be more impactful and, you know, that sort of more relatable trainers. So that's what we invested our time in doing. We developed this cascade training model where we train our students to be trainers, and then they deliver carbon literacy not only to their peers, but actually also to members of staff at the university now as well. And that's been hugely successful. And our training program is now available as well as a freely available toolkit to any university or FE college in the UK for them to adopt that whole process to start delivering carbon literacy in their own institutions. And I'm delighted with the strong uptake we've seen on that. It's been really positive.
We've been working with other organisations, councils and businesses, and so is it expanded from that as well?
Yes. Yeah, actually, we've been working with other organisations since the beginning. So it's not so much a recent expansion. We've been working with Manchester City Council since it was either 2013 or 2014. And then, yeah, we've worked with a wide range of external organisations. And again, we like to do a similar thing with them. That will be sort of, you know, one of the first conversations we have, that we could come in and just deliver training for you, but it would be so much better if we could work with some core people inside your organisation, co-develop the training with them, and then train them up to be trainers. And then we leave an organisation really well equipped to carry on this journey without us, because ultimately it's a problem of scale. You know, this is a climate emergency. We need to be able to respond to it now. There isn't enough time for, you know, one or two trainers to go out and equip everyone. We need to get that momentum going. So this cascade training approach is really effective there. And one of the organisations that we worked with quite early on was Home Cinema, just down the road from the university. And they are doing amazing work now. You know, they jumped on board with it straight away, were really keen, saw the potential. We did this process of co-creating and training their internal team. And they, for the last few years now, have really been pushing that out into their wider community and across the arts sector as well. And that's what we want to see, those cascades being triggered everywhere. That, to me, is what makes the program really successful.
Where would you say we as a university are on this journey, or what we've started in terms of that cascade effect? We've kind of worked with the work of our students, we work with our staff, we work with some organisations. Do we have kind of grander, bolder plans around this?
Oh, yes. World domination. No, in all seriousness, I think we've now reached the tipping point, if you like, internally at the university, where there's this really wide awareness across the institution of the importance of this, the absolute necessity of reaching zero carbon, and the fact that we all have a role to play in that. And I think, you know, our senior leadership have been really supportive, see the necessity of it, also see the opportunity for the university in taking strong action in this area. So we did a wonderful training morning with our university leadership forum, actually just before lockdown. So that was, you know, about the top 100 leaders, everyone from departmental head level up to Malcolm Press, our vice chancellor. And we had our student trainers in, so we had all our senior leaders, you know, five or six to a table with a couple of student trainers at each table. And it was a brilliant session. So we felt like we were just about to, you know, everything was going to explode. And then, of course, business as normal stopped for a while. And it's been since we've all come back to campus, we had a lot of activity over the last 18 months. We translated everything to online delivery. We had a couple of areas that were really keen. So our technical services team have been absolute champions of this. They've nearly got everyone in technical services through the carbon literacy training. They're really promoting a strong cultural shift across the entire department. So making discussion of these types of points and actions that they're going to take part of standing agendas on team meetings. And we're now starting to see other departments coming forward wanting to do the same. So, for example, we're doing the entire finance directorate in December.
are kind of moving outside of the university, moving more towards Glasgow or the world, if you will. How do you see carbon literacy feeding in, or how could it feed into COP26, the kind of the world coming together to discuss how to tackle climate change in Glasgow?
So I guess that's a difficult question. I think it's one of those things where focusing on a specific date or event, obviously the focus of the world on climate action around COP26 is incredibly useful. But my focus isn't so much on that one specific date. It's a great opportunity for us to go and talk to people and highlight the impact and the importance of this type of work. But it's actually much more about doing the hard yards after COP, when we've made all the promises and actually delivering on it. And for me, carbon literacy is the first step towards achieving zero carbon. It's the hearts and minds part of the campaign, if you like. It needs to go hand in hand with really strong carbon management, lots of investment in innovation and so on, finding new ways of doing things. But for me, the job of carbon literacy is actually, I was going to say, to make that palatable, to make that acceptable, to help us understand that actually what we're moving towards is a more attractive future rather than running away from something scary, you know. But it's not necessarily going to be a smooth and easy ride. We're going to have to put some work in. And I think that's what where carbon literacy is really helpful, in that sort of framing and understanding and visioning, and that empowering us at the moment with where we are, with the lack of action that we've seen over the last few decades. It's a little bit too easy to have a black dog day and it's all just too much, and that sort of sense of existential dread, particularly in younger age groups who quite frankly aren't at all responsible for the problem and are going to bear the consequences of it. And to feel that sense, that lack of empowerment, you know, that what can I do about this? Well, actually, we can all do quite a lot. And I think that's one of the things that can really, really help with the carbon literacy training, that framing of a positive future, something that we actively want to move towards, and then understanding how we start doing that, how we start that journey.
Brilliant. Well, that's really interesting. And I think I have to get myself on some carbon literacy training as a member of the university. I haven't not done it yet. So I certainly will be seeking out one of the trainers.
The next course is in early November, Chris. You can sign up for it on the sustainability web pages.
I will do. And of course, if anyone out there is listening, we will put the links at the end of this for you to kind of find out where to get some more information, whether you're an organisation or business who'd like to work with us, or whether you're a student or staff member who'd like to find out more. So thank you to Dr. Rachel Dunk for that really interesting insight into carbon literacy.
Thank you very much, Chris. Pleasure talking to you.
That's all for now. If you'd like to find out more about carbon literacy and how the university can help, log on to mmu.ac.uk/sustainability. Your feedback on the podcast is always welcome, as are much needed review ratings on iTunes. So if you have a moment, please head there to let us know what you think.